I couldn't see it. There was something staring at me
through the darkness.
Springtime has arrived, and that means we all get fresh flowers on top of our graves. Welcome to the S'mores with a Corpse podcast. What we do here? Well, we eat s'mores, and we tell stories. What kind of stories? Stories of the weird, stories of the strange, stories of the dead. Dead men don't tell tales, do they? Well, think again. Some of these stories are just stories. Others are real, sent in by real people who had real experiences. If you'd like to submit a story of your own, listen at the end of the show on how to do so. But for now, it's time for our first tale, because we here at S'mores with a Corpse, we don't beat around the grave. Have you ever felt like you wanted to belong to something? Have you ever wanted to feel special? Well, in our first story, we meet a man who may be able to help you with that. He has a special club, and you just might be interested in joining. Speary marshmallow on your poker and get ready to roast, because our first story is called The Club. The smell of spring was in the air. The winter had been so long and so cold that it was quite a sight to see the sun creeping through the windows of my funeral home. Oh yeah, that's right. I said funeral home. I own one. Hoover's Funeral and Cremation Services, it's called. When your loved one dies, bring them to me. I'll fix them right up. We'll have a ceremony, we'll say a couple of nice things, we'll tell everyone how great they were, and then we'll just dump them in the ground. Apparently, that's what you living people call honoring one's memory. My customers have never had any complaints about the services I provide. From what I understand, they've been very satisfied. They've never spoke a bad word about anything. However, they never said a good word either. How could they? All of my customers are dead. But the people who brought them to me were also very happy with my services as well, I suppose. They have raved about how affordable I was, how I helped them through their tough time, and how honorably and respectfully I treated their loved one. Right up until the point it was time to take them to their final resting place. They said that because of me, it was easier to watch the casket lower into the ground. I guess I appreciate their compliments and good praise. However, I'm not sure that some of them would appreciate that in some of their cases, their deceased loved one wasn't exactly in the coffin when we buried it. You see, I have a club. It's a very special club, and only my favorite customers can be members. At this point, I guess you can tell I don't have a lot of living and breathing friends. But I don't care about that. I've come to find that if they're living and they're breathing, they're a lot of work. More work than what they're worth, most times. People are rude. People say bad things about you behind your back. People only care about themselves. Not the members of my club, though. No, they're not like that at all. You see, they listen to me. They care about me. And they have never, ever said anything bad about me. For instance, there's one of my members, Carrie Fishman, died in a car accident. But she still has her long blonde hair, and that gorgeous floral dress she wears really brings out the color of her skin. As a matter of fact, if it weren't for the stitches holding her head onto the rest of her body, she might be able to pass as a beautiful girl simply asleep. There's Brandon Howard. Not a finer gentleman anywhere, in my opinion. He's polite, clean-cut. Of course, maybe a little too clean-cut, perhaps, the way that knife had run across his throat, but that's no matter. Brandon doesn't mind anymore. He sits there along with the rest of my club, sharply dressed and attentive to every moment with me. Now, there's Neil Garrison. Now, Neil was also in a bad car accident, and unlike Carrie, he didn't make it out as intact as she did. Neil was quite disfigured, actually. He's missing his legs, and his head is oddly shapen. But, we don't judge, because he's part of the club. And he's just like everybody else. Plus, we welcome diversity. If everyone was the same, well, just think, how boring would that be? I could name a couple of other of the members of my club at this point. But you're probably wondering how I manage to get my members. In a crowded room of people, it must be really hard to remove a corpse. And they don't like being called that, by the way. From the casket without anyone noticing. Well, true. But long story short, you'd be surprised how easy it is, during ceremonies, to remove the casket from the room, do the old switcheroo, seal it, and then soon after, the casket is loaded into a hearse and taken to the cemetery. I've yet to run into a case where someone just wanted one last look at one of my members. Most people are just happy to wash their hands of this entire frustrating and complicated ordeal, and they just want to move on with their living and breathing lives. It's quite comical, actually, knowing how many people were actually saying goodbye to a cinder block rather than the dead person they thought was inside. But what do they care? If it were up to them, they would have put Carrie or Brandon or Dennis into the ground and left them there to rot. How careless. How thoughtless. How heartless. Often, I've wondered if they were the ones who were dead inside and not their deceased loved ones. And then there's my cremation clients. The ones who people wanted me to burn into almost nothing. I refuse, I refuse, I refuse. That's where Neil came from. What? A few missing limbs and deformities make him deserving of a fiery doom? Not on my watch. Instead, these forgotten, expired members of society get to become members of my very own club. And we can pass all the time we want in a private freezer in the bowels of my funeral home. I call it our clubhouse. Anyway, now all that is out of the way. It's time to tell you about the time intruders broke into my funeral home one evening and found out about my club. I remember it like it was only yesterday, though some time has passed since then. It was Halloween night a few years back. I was fast asleep down in the clubhouse when a loud ruckus rose me from my slumber. My members remained frozen in their seats, but I could see their silhouettes through the darkness facing me, and I could feel their cold eyes upon me. Without saying a word, I knew that they had heard it too, and they wanted me to go investigate. I'll be back, I told them. I left the room, and I started down the hallway when I heard it again. It had not been a mistake. Someone or something was definitely upstairs. I had never had this problem before. I better go check it out. I started up the stairs when I heard them. It sounded like teenagers. This is so creepy, one of them said. Where's all the bodies? Where's all the dead bodies? Another asked. After hearing more pieces of their conversation, I deduced two things. One, there were only two of them, both of them boys. And two, well, they were under the assumption that the only other people in the funeral home were dead. How wrong they were. I'm not a crotchety old man by any means. I have a playful side to me as well. Ask any members of my club. They would all readily agree that my jokes are both charming and funny. So rather than chase these two thrill seekers off, I decided to give them what they came for. Let's see some dead people. I snuck back around the corner and heard them slowly creep down the stairs. They had flashlights, so our little game would be extra daring. I couldn't let them see me. So do you think they're down here? Asked one of the boys. I think so. It's much colder underground. Look for a freezer, answered the other one. Ooh, a smarty pants. Maybe I should offer him a job application instead.
Join us.
They crept down the hallway, and at last, they reached the main freezer where I keep most of my clients. I waited with anticipation. Indeed, there was one body in there. An elderly woman, died of natural causes. Quite boring. I had already since decided she wouldn't belong to my club. Boring clients aren't allowed in my club. They slowly pulled open the door and walked inside. I was just about to rush in and scare the holy ghost out of them when I heard another noise.
Hello?
A voice calling from upstairs.
Guys!
A girl called.
You're going to get in a lot of trouble. Get out of here now.
The boys, already in the freezer, couldn't hear her. But I could, however. I crept up the stairs and peered around the corner. She was standing outside of the open window they had obviously snuck in through. Rather quickly, though, she gave up. She walked away from the window. But it was at this instant that I heard commotion coming from downstairs. The scene I discovered was horrifying and absolute. The boys had found my second freezer, the clubhouse. They were screaming in terror at the sight of my club members, and it was at this point where I got very angry. How dare they? All the screaming and commotion, they would surely frighten my club members, my friends. They turned around where I stood in front of them. I tried playing along, but this is what happens when you let the living interfere and get too close. They always meddle in things that aren't their business. Boys, I shouted, stop screaming. Now, I think we are all in quite an uncomfortable position here. It's Halloween, and you were just trying to achieve a little mischief and indulge in some harmless fun. However, in the process, you engaged in a little thing the police would call breaking and entering. Possibly criminal trespassing, too. You're clearly frightened by what you've seen, and ordinarily the best thing to do is to just let you leave quickly and chalk this up as a lesson learned for all parties. The boys quickly agreed and went to leave, but I stopped them.
They can't leave.
They weren't hearing me. I said, ordinarily, and this situation was anything but. They frightened my club. They scared my friends. And above all, they all knew my twisted little secret. Who knows who else they might tell? Who else they might discuss my club with? Boys, I have some good news and some bad news. The bad news is, I can't let you walk out of here and tell everyone about my secret little club. I'm sorry.
What?
But if you would never have come here, this would not have happened at all. But I did say I did have some good news. We can work something out after all. The good news is, you two can now be a part of my special club. The others are going to be so excited to have you. And so, that night, my club gained two new members. But of all my new members, Timmy and Kenny were the only ones who were afraid to join, and they resisted at first. However, now, they fit in right along with the rest of my friends. Carrie was telling me the other day that she thinks it's wonderful they joined. Oh, now the girl. Oh, yes. You're thinking about the girl who was outside the upstairs window. Surely she wouldn't just tell nobody where they were, especially now that they were missing. She had gone to the police and confessed where they had been at last. A funeral home. And upon questioning me, I was as confused and concerned as I could be to the police. I did say that I had found an open window, but other than that, there was absolutely nothing out of the ordinary at Hoover's funeral and cremation services. They thanked me for my time, apologized for any inconvenience, and left me to my business. Now everything is back to normal. Customers come, customers go, and I haven't added any new members to the club lately. Room is a bit full, I suppose. But that girl, I can tell by the way she looks at me whenever she sees me that she doesn't believe me. She doesn't believe that I'm clueless as to what may have happened to Timmy and Kenny. She may think that Timmy and Kenny never made it out that night, and that's fine. But she should be careful, because simply, if she decides to go poking around, she may find that my club will always never stop looking for new members, and there will always be room for one more. So, my little campers, what did we learn? Maybe we shouldn't meddle in things that aren't our concern, and maybe we shouldn't go places we shouldn't be. I'm not sure what kind of living and breathing friends Timmy and Kenny had in their previous lives, but I'm sure Mr. Hoover's club is thrilled to have them. I love friendship. For our next story, this is a true tale sent in by a young lady in Pennsylvania. Apparently, her son can see a bit more than she thought he could. We call this one, I Know Him. A few months back, earlier this year, my two young sons and I were at home in the living room. We were watching the usual cartoons, and out of the corner of my eye, I noticed my son, Brandon, jerk his head towards the hallway. At first, I didn't think anything of it, until he kept staring. I figured maybe a fly or something caught his eye, so I asked him what he was looking at. He said, "The boy!" and went to jump off the couch and run down the hall. I stopped him and asked what boy he was talking about. There were no other kids in the house except for him and his little brother. "The little boy with the green backpack. He went into my room. I want to go play with him," he answered. It shook me up, so I told him to step outside with me and my other youngest son, Edward. I called my husband and I told him about it, and he reassured me that whatever it was, it couldn't hurt us. After a little while, I calmed down and we were going to lay down for a nap. I was still a little weary, so I took the boys in my room for a nap. As we passed Brandon's room, he stopped and he looked in with a puzzled look on his face. I asked him if he had seen the boy again, and he replied, "No, I don't see him. Where did he go? I didn't see him leave." I was convinced he really saw someone. I told him I didn't know where the boy went, but he wasn't around anymore. That's the first and last time I ever heard about the boy again. An overactive imagination? Maybe. But something happened a few months later that leaves me doubting that explanation. I was picking him up from his babysitter's house after work, and she tells me something odd happened that day. She explains that she brought out some old photo albums full of pictures and relatives he's never seen, many of whom have since died. Brandon was on the love seat beside her as she went through the pages, sharing their names and how they were related to him. She got to a page with pictures of her father, who had died many, many years ago. Before she was able to tell Brandon who he was, Brandon said, "I know him!" She chuckled, knowing this just isn't possible, and asked how he thought he knew her. Brandon told her, "He's here sometimes, in the room with us," and pointed to a corner. This caught her off guard, and she didn't know what to think. But she continued and told him that that was her father, and she continued on to other relatives. She was wide-eyed when she relayed this to me. And that's when I told her that I think Brandon can somehow see things that we can't. Also telling her about the boy in the hallway. Since then, Brandon has not spoke a word about the boy or the woman's father. But that doesn't mean he can't see them.
It was just your imagination,
parents often tell their kiddies. But is it to settle the child or to settle the parent?
I'm not sure you would all want to know just how many times you think we're alone and we're actually not. Our last and final story this evening is another true tale. It's much scarier knowing it actually happened. This chilling tale is about a boy whose sleep is disturbed by something that goes knock-knock into the night. Let's open another bag of bloody marshmallows and listen to The Hand.
Before this night, I was never afraid of the dark. But this night changed the way that I saw everything paranormal forever. I was 8 years old at the time, and my family lived in a small apartment. I shared a room with my sister, and we had a set of bunk beds. My sister slept on the top bunk, leaving me the bottom bunk. On this night, we went to bed, just like any other night.
Good night.
I drifted off to sleep, not a single scary thought in my head. That would change. I woke up. I could tell by how quiet it was, by how dark it was, that it was the dead of night. The bedroom door was shut, and it was clear that no one else was awake in the house. And then it occurred to me what had awoken me. I figured it was nothing. So I rolled over to go back to sleep, and that's when I heard it. A candy wrapper. A candy wrapper I had left under my bed days earlier was crinkling. What could it be? What was making that noise? There was a gap between my bed and the wall, so I decided to reach down there. Like I said before this night, no thoughts of anything paranormal had ever crossed my mind. I was unafraid of the dark. Surely it was only the cat, who had probably accidentally got locked into the bedroom with us when my parents had shut the door when they had gone to bed. And now it was entertaining itself underneath my bed. Right? I reached down at the dark crevice and further down until my hand landed on the carpet below. I felt around, feeling nothing, until my hand landed on something hard, something cold, something with fingers. I yanked my hand up and clenched my blankets tight to my chest. There was a hand under my bed, which could only mean somebody was under my bed. But then, an idea popped into my head. Jessica! I shouted to my mischievous older sister. Jessica, get out from under my bed right now, or I'm going to go wake up Mom and Dad. Jessica's voice came from the darkness. I'm not under the bed, she replied. I was convinced, however. It had to be her. There was no other explanation. Prove it, I declared. Her arm appeared, hanging down from the top bunk above me. She was telling the truth. It was, in fact, not her under the bed after all. Fear gripped me. If it wasn't her, then who was it? I gripped my blankets tighter to my chest and tried to force myself to fall back asleep. You know how little kids, you know, imaginations run away with them. This was one of those times. This had to be one of those times. Maybe I was mistaken. Maybe it wasn't a hand. Maybe it was my imagination. Until a knock-knock sound started on my wooden headboard. The knocking was coming from below. I was terrified. I didn't want this to be happening. I didn't want to think about it, but whatever was under my bed did not want to be ignored. Clawing. A clawing sound started on the headboard. I could hear the fingernails catching on loose splinters, knocking, clawing. It was more than I could take. My eyes search the room, looking for any movement, any shapes, any shadows. My eyes rested on the door, longing to be out of this room. But I was terrified to even think about putting my feet on the floor. It would be too easy for that cold, large hand to wrap itself around my ankle. Suddenly, my eye saw something that made my heart stop. A moment that would change my life, literally, forever. I stared in horror at the foot of my bed, where a hand appeared, rising from below. I was frozen in terror as the hand rose higher and higher. And then it stopped. It wiggled its fingers slowly, menacingly. Suddenly, I found my voice. I screamed. It was the loudest I had ever screamed in my entire life, and I have never screamed that loud since. I dashed out of bed and sprinted to the bedroom door, throwing it open. I did not look back. Even as my sister from the top bunk sat up in terror and began screaming in unison, fearing whatever it was that had made her brother make such a sound, do such a thing, and race from the room, whatever it was still in the room with her. My feet found themselves running into my parents' room, where I leapt onto the bed and shook them awake as hard as I could. During my panic, I could only scream one thing.
There's something under my bed! There's something under my bed!
It's in my room!
My parents finally woke up, and they rushed to my room. I followed behind them, not sure what would happen next, not sure what we would see. I was not sure what to expect. I was uncertain what waited us in my room. My parents entered my room, turning the lights on. My sister was on the top bunk, staring wildly around the room. She was terrified and utterly confused. She was hysterical, scared to death. My parents checked under the bed, then our closet. They found nothing. They searched the rest of the apartment and checked all locks on every door. They were as they had left them, with no signs of entry in or out. My father knew we were both terrified, and he needed a miracle to get us back to sleep, to tell us something to soothe our nerves. He gave us permission to spend the rest of the night out in the living room. As for the hand, he entered our bedroom holding the cat, doing his best to convince my sister and I that it was the cat causing the disturbance.
It was just this little guy.
He did his very best to convince me that I had not felt nor ever seen a human hand. At the time, I believed him. Not because I actually believed it, but because I desperately wanted to. I needed to. As we were allowed to, we spent the rest of the night out in the living room sleeping on the floor. In my mind, anywhere was better than back in my room. I would have liked to wake up the next morning, chalk the previous night's events up to a bad dream, and move on. Unfortunately, that's not what happened. I still remember that night, 20 years later now. I remember it as clear as yesterday, with every detail fresh in my mind. The events of that day have never been explained and remain unsolved. Till this day, I cannot sleep with my feet hanging over a bed. My father admits years later that he knows it wasn't the cat. How does he know this? Because the cat that had been used to explain away the horrid events of that night, that same exact cat had been in my parents' room that night, sleeping on the bed with them. I wonder years later what I would have seen if I had looked back while running for my bedroom door, or what I would have seen if I had peeked under my bed. But years later, I truly believe that I might be better off not knowing.
And that concludes tonight's episode. Thank you for joining me by the campfire and enjoying some gooey s'mores. If you'd like to tell a story of your own, true or fiction, feel free to write in to my show, smoreswithacorpse@gmail.com. If you don't have the internet, you can just mail them straight to my casket. Join us next time for more stories of terror, stories of horror, stories you may not want to hear, but stories you will never forget. This has been the Smalls with a Corpse podcast, and thank you for playing dead with me. Good night, sleep tight, rest your head, and don't look under the bed.
Though I couldn't see it,
there was something staring at me
through the darkness.